Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the 9th chapter, the most confidential knowledge, text number 10. Maya jaksena prakriti suyate sachara charam hitu nanena kunteya jagat viparivartate. Maya, by me. Adyakshena, by superintendence. Prakriti, material nature. Suyate, manifest. Sa, both. Chara acharam, the moving and the non-moving. Hituna, for the reason. Anena, this. Kunteya, O son of Kunti. Jagat, the cosmic manifestation. Viparivartate, is working. Translation. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings, under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will in the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that of all the living entities in different forms and species, I am the Father. The Father gives seeds to the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his mere glands, injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glands of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attached to the material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord, but he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. The example is given in the Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower, when there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person. Yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There's a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glands and ordains. In summary, material nature, without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities. Om Agyanati Marandasya Ginandana Salakya Shakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha. So, Lord Krishna is stated not to be involved in any type of work. Natasya karyam karanam savijyate. Lord Krishna has no obligation to do anything. He is free, and therefore he is not obliged at all to organize the material world. Nor is he involved in the administration of the material world. There is a certain group of people who believe that at one point there will be heaven on earth and that 144,000 people will go to heaven. And if you ask them, what are these 144,000 doing in heaven? Then the answer is they are together with God taking care of all the material affairs. So this is a form of anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means that we are projecting our human situation on the divine situation, and that we are projecting the limitations of our temporary existence here upon the spiritual reality. So this is foolishness. This is basically Kupamandukanyaya, Dr. Frog philosophy, right? Who from his well tries to understand the ocean. How is it possible? So therefore, we are understanding that the supreme absolute truth by nature is achintya. It is inconceivable. So this achintya aspect of the absolute truth is natural and is intrinsic because we are infinitesimal beings. And being infinitesimal beings, we do not have the capacity to understand Vibhu Chaitanya or the all-pervading consciousness. Vibhu Chaitanya, Chaitanya means actually also consciousness. So Vibhu Chaitanya means the all-pervading consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Abhigya, who is all-knowing, who is Swarat, always independent. That is the nature of the Lord. Janmadi yasi atun vayat itaratas shati swabhigya swarat tena brahmar idaya adhya kavye muyanti at suryaha. It is said the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the source of everything, and although he is all-knowing and all-pervading, at the same time he remains independent. He is not part of it all. So how can we understand this, actually? All right, things are going on by the plan of the Lord, by some sort of program of the Lord, and it's simply, the program doesn't have to be written. The program is simply manifest by his desire. As soon as he desires, it is all done. There is no such thing as that the Lord needs to work to achieve anything. So how can we understand? We who have to work from morning till night for everything we want to do, how can we understand? Philosophically, we can understand, maybe. But philosophical understanding is not adequate. One must rather have realized knowledge. One must realize transcendental knowledge within his heart. Therefore, transcendental knowledge goes beyond philosophical knowledge or beyond gyan. It goes to the level of vigyan, of realized knowledge, of put in practice. Just as we are seeing that that personalities like Sukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami had realized the knowledge of Bhagavatam. And this realization meant in a practical way in their life. So this is the ultimate test. The ultimate test of one's understanding transcendental knowledge. We do recall that Brahmana referred to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, who was illiterate but had the order of his spiritual master to read Bhagavad Gita, and could not. And while he was sitting there, with the book in front of him, just acting as if he was reading, everybody knew he could not. So they're joking, what are you doing? You know, sitting there, you can't even read. And he was feeling very frustrated. He said, what can I do? But I got this order. But yet, he was crying tears while doing this activity. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed by and asked him, why are you crying while reading Bhagavad Gita? He said, the man said, actually, I'm not reading because I cannot read. But my spiritual master gave me this order to read Gita, so I'm just spending time with the Gita. He said, but when I see this picture where Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is serving his devotee Arjuna as the chariot driver, then I'm getting tears in my eyes. That moves me deeply. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately proclaimed that this Brahmana was the greatest knower of the Gita. There was no one like him who knew the Gita. So it is all about realization. It is all about putting into practice. So the real meaning of this verse is that one must accept that whatever happens in my life
is controlled by the Supreme Lord. If one is not adding that perspective within my life, then where is the question of realization? Of course, also beyond my life, within the life of all that lives, it is the Supreme Lord who is the controller. And even all the energies are the energies of the Supreme Lord. That is all right. But the very reason why all these energies are explained in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is because of our relationship with these energies. What's the point in discussing all the energies of the Lord and breaking them down in different elements, 16 elements, 24 elements, and the 25th element, and so forth? Then we are doing Sankhya. Sankhya, analyzing the energies of the Lord in various ways. But it is pointed out that Sankhya is the process of finding out the root of the tree. And then one must water the root of the tree, Prabhupada points out. So Sankhya also leads to bhakti, ultimately. The perfection of Sankhya is bhakti. And bhakti means very practical. It means applied transcendental knowledge. So therefore, we may see everything in the context of our own experience and in the context of the experience of all living beings, and within the context of everything that manifests, that behind everything is the Supreme Lord. It means that we are always dealing with the Supreme Lord in every situation. We're always dealing with Krishna. We don't deal with this nasty man sitting at the other side of the ticket window. We don't deal with this authority that blocks us from doing something we want to do. I'm making an imaginary man sitting there with some authority in the world. Like we experienced when we tried to pass the border from Pakistan to India. Welcome, yes, can we see your passport? Thank you very much. Sir, you have a problem, big problem. Oh yes, big problem. Yes, you did not get the entry stamp when you came into the country.
But they didn't put an entry stamp. They didn't put anything.
You did not get. So how can I now give you exit stamp of the country when you don't have entry stamp? You can go back and get the entry stamp, but it's very long journey. Oh yes, costly also. As you like. You can go back. Yes. Thank you so much. But. Thank you so much. You talk to my friend. It's like, okay, his friend is coming. Yes, no. Listen, yes, this man, you know, he can help you. But, of course, it is not allowed. But he will do it because he knows you are in big trouble. And if you pay something to me, then I will talk to him. And he's my friend. He will do what I say. He will give you the stamp. Don't worry. Give 1,000 rupees. Yes, thank you.
Like this, right? We are being harassed in the material world. Yes.
So, what to do? There's always someone who blocks our way. Someone who says, this cannot be done, that cannot be done. But we have to see nimitta matram. We have to see that there is an ultimate cause behind everything. There is immediate cause and the ultimate cause. And who cares about the immediate cause of things? The immediate cause is secondary. It is the ultimate cause. What is the purpose of the Supreme Lord, we have to ask, when something happens to us? If we don't take that route, then what will we do? I found in my life, in very difficult situations, that comfort in the situation of Dharma, who had been beaten by the bull Dharma, who had been beaten by Kali and with a broken leg, And when Maharaj Pariksit came, Dharma was trying to ascertain the cause of his situation. And Maharaj Pariksit asked him, "Who did this to you?" And Dharma said, "It's hard to say. It's hard to say." While Kali was still standing next to him with a stick in his hand. Everybody would have said, "It's him, it's that guy with the stick there. Get him back, get him." Right? "He broke my legs." Who would not have said? So the fact that Dharma didn't say that was, for me, a great source of inspiration to try and also not do that. Right? And to try and see the ultimate cause of all things, the Supreme Personality of Godhead behind everything, and not the immediate cause, Kali with the stick. Yeah. And this is very important, right? That we see Krishna behind. That doesn't mean that we don't do anything. Not that we are like those very religious people who say, "Yes, everything has come from God. And if my child is getting this disease, and if it has to die, it will die. I will not give any medicine to this child, because if God wants this child to die, it will die. And if God wants my child to live, my child will live." Yeah, and then the child dies, right? And everyone says, "Why didn't you give it the medicine?" So there is that famous story of the flood and the man sitting on the roof, and the man is about to be saved by some people with a boat. And he says, "No, no, no, my Lord will save me." And he says, "No, I will not enter the boat." And then after a while, a helicopter comes, and the man says, "No, no, I will not enter this helicopter. My Lord will save me." And then finally he drowns and dies. And then he comes before my Lord and he says, "My Lord, why didn't you save me?" And he said, "What do you mean? I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want?" Right? So this story illustrates the point. So we also accepting that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller and is behind everything doesn't mean that we cannot act in the situation anymore and just have to say, "Well, it's his will." No, it's also his will that we can do something, but still we understand that the ultimate cause of everything that happens to us is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we have that consciousness, then we can stay transcendental. And transcendental means nirapeksha, means within our heart, unaffected, and means that we are always joyful and always happy at the lotus feet of the Lord. Maya jakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam means to be always happy at the lotus feet of the Lord. Because he's all good, he's all kind, he's all merciful, and therefore to be totally assured that he is protecting. So there's no doubt. My Lord is protecting me. All these things, they look just overwhelming. But my Lord is protecting me. This road and that new cave that we see here in Vrindavan looks actually like the mouth of a huge serpent. And that road looks like a huge tongue. You are imagining things. Well, I don't know. Anyway, whether it's imagination or real, it doesn't matter. Krishna will protect us. Yes, that's true. Okay, let's go. The cowherd boys are always feeling protected. But some elderly cowherd boys who are a little older than Krishna, they have a somewhat parental mood. And when they see a big cloud in the sky that reminds them of a bull, they think, "Aristasura is coming back. We have to protect Krishna." And they get ready. Right? So, to protect Krishna, there is all the eagerness, but to protect themselves, why worry? Rakshishyati divisvaso. Krishna will protect. So surrender is not self-torture. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not mean that we have to force ourselves in the narrow program of Krishna's rules and regulations. It simply means that we have to trust that, yes,
I'm in under the good care of my Lord. Suridam Sarvadeyanam, the friend of all living beings. Bhakti Jana Priyosime, the devotee is most dear to him. That Lord will certainly protect me, without a doubt. Right? He's so kind. Yes. Because I'm taking shelter of him. I have no other shelter. He will give me shelter, surely. This is all Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharatiram. So then we see simply energies in the world working under the direction of the Lord, working ultimately for the plan of the Lord. And a devotee knows the plan of the Lord because he knows the goal of the plan of the Lord. He knows that the Lord desires to bring all the devotees within his association to enter into the transcendental nectar of devotional ecstasy, of being absorbed in devotional service eternally and experience ever-increasing transcendental bliss. There is no doubt about it. A devotee knows what Krishna is trying to achieve. We may not know how he's doing it. What he's doing, we don't know. What is going on? We don't know. Sometimes things look bad, sometimes things look good. We don't know. But there is that famous story of a king who had a minister, and this king went out for a hunting exercise with his minister, and in the process, the king was playing with a very sharp arrow with a head, and he cut accidentally a little bit of his finger. So the minister said to the, when the king got very upset, the minister told him, he said, well, we have to see everything as the will of the Lord. Oh, right. And it's all for some good purpose. Because the Lord is good, therefore it is all good. Well, the minister didn't like it. So, the minister, therefore, the king, therefore, placed the minister in jail, right? He had him put in jail. Later, that king went again into the forest and he was kidnapped by some group of low-class men who were engaged in some sacrifice to Bhadra Kali and had a desire to make a human sacrifice, right? So they had captured the king, but it is when there is some defect on the body, cannot be offered. So when they found that there was a little piece of the finger missing, the king was saved, right? And the king realized, you know, I have been saved because of this. My minister was right. And he came back and he took his minister out of the jail. But then he said to the minister, he said, like, all right, you know, but now you tell me. He said, okay, I can appreciate that I cut my finger and for that, you know, I was saved, that was all good. But you had to suffer so much. You were put in jail. What was the good of that? The minister said, Your Majesty, if I would not have been in jail, I would have certainly been with you. And after they would have found that there was something wrong with your finger, they would have taken me for the sacrifice. So it was certainly all good that I was put in the jail. Right? So, okay, this is a simple story showing how the minister could see the all good in everything, but we sometimes are not as intelligent as that minister. We cannot see. Right? We cannot see. How is the situation all good? How is Amsterdam all good? You know, how is the whole material world in the grip of Kali Yuga, right? All good looks really bad, doesn't it? You know, dark, demoniac, and all that, isn't it? How is good? We cannot understand the plan of the Lord, but we accept that it is the plan of the Lord and that there is no doubt, that the purpose is to bring all living beings back to Godhead. So, in this spirit, we are accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is working under my direction, the Lord says. And he's speaking to Arjuna
the son of Kunti, Kunti, who understands very well, right, how the Lord is here in this material world in a human form. And although he is in a human form and in a family relationship, right, with her, right, she knows very well that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is reminding here, Kunteya, my cousin, yes, I have a family relationship with you. I'm close with you. I'm your friend. But yet, you understand that, my dear Kuntiya, that in spite of our family relationship, I'm also the Supreme Lord, and everything is under my direction. Which later on will be vividly illustrated in the 11th chapter, when Krishna is revealing his universal form. And then Arjuna will pray and will say, forgive me, I have accepted you as my friend. We have eaten together, laughed together, laid on the same bed together so many times, and now I realize who you are, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet, how wonderful that that same Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in a human-like form, in human-like relationships, so that he is approachable. The universal form was unapproachable. So Kunteya means that the Supreme Lord is one of us, although he is in control of everything. He is one of us. He is one of Kunti's relatives, right? And Kunti is just a mother in this material world with five sons. So in this way, Kunti is not a goddess, Kunti is a human being. So the Lord appears as a human being. And we're also seeing that in the next verse, that point is continued. Avajanati mammuda manusimtanam asritam. Param bhavam ajanato mamabhuta maheswaram. Fools deride me when I descend into human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So it's pointed out, Krishna appears in his human form, but is the Supreme Lord and is not understood. So this point is what he's making here in the 9th chapter when he is explaining also that he is Kunteya. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada is speaking about Atlas, and he is saying how in the Greek mythology, Atlas is there carrying the earth on his shoulders and is almost being crushed under the weight of this huge planet and this great responsibility. He said, but when Krishna is controlling, it is not like that. It is all going on by desire. And we're seeing that by his desire, he is taking unlimited forms. And when it is, and he's expending himself. And all these forms are acting independent from one another. And yet, he's still the same Supreme Lord. So it is, in one sense, Krishna who is glancing on the material world. And in another sense, it's not. Because in one sense, Lord Mahavishnu or Sadashiva, who is actually glancing upon the material world, is none different from Krishna. In the sense that it's the self-same Supreme Lord, who is all-pervading, who is the source of all the material energy. But yet, it is not Krishna who is personally glancing upon the world and impregnating the material energy with living beings. Krishna is absorbed in his transcendental pleasure pastimes. So, how brilliant, right? This is so nice that the more we hear about Krishna, the more we can see that he is brilliant, that he is absolutely genius, and that he is absolutely managed things perfectly, right? Because he is engaged in his pleasure pastimes. Now imagine if a temple president could just be engaged in his temple in his personal pleasure pastimes, and at the same time could keep a temple in perfect condition. Phew, this would be the dream.
if we could somehow or other manage this society, ISKCON, and at the same time engage in our transcendental pleasure pastimes, well, then it would be easy. But instead, we must do it by hard work. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. That is what human existence means. One has to perform this austerity. The nature of human life is that one cannot overcome austerity. That's not possible. The only thing is that at one point, one no longer identifies with the austerity as belonging to me. The austerity is here and belongs to the body, but it doesn't belong to me because I'm the soul and not affected by this austerity and have nothing to do with it. But the austerity is always there, accompanying the body. Body means austerity. There is no body that has no austerity connected to it. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. This is the fundamental existence in the material world. Yeah. So, this is all part of the arrangements of the Supreme Lord, the Sat Urmi, right? Where the living entity is always involved with the Sat Urmi, or the six waves, or six whips, sometimes also called, of material existence. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, infirmity, old age, and death, right? These things are unavoidable. Yeah? This is material existence. And then Krishna came and brought that Swadharma assembly house from King Indra, from the heavenly planets to Dwarka. And it said, whoever was with Krishna there every day was not affected by these six whips, was exempt. So there was a little place in the world where people were exempt in Krishna's association. He shows these little details are just like a cherry, or like a little cream here, or a little, just to show, you know, that he's the Supreme Lord, as a gesture, as a token, that he can so easily remove what for us is impossible to remove, right? A day without hunger. Oh boy, right? How long can you fast? Right? So, in this way, the control of the Supreme Lord is not only going on that he is behind everything, but it is also prakriti kriyamanani gunakarmani sarvasa ahankaram vimudatma kirtaham iti manyante. It is also by the three modes of material nature, which actually carry out things, although we think that we are the doer. So, this is also a fact, that the three modes of material nature are the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord himself has nothing to do with the material world. So with this, I think that we are coming to the end. There's only one last line in the purport that I still want to comment on, and that is, yet the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities. Krishna has no attachment to anything material. He has no taste for anything material. He has no attraction for anything material. Krishna can only be attracted by the internal energy, by the Ladini Shakti. He cannot be attracted by the Maya Shakti. That is not possible. Krishna can never fall prey to anything of this material world. Never be attracted by it at all. Therefore, there's nothing from this material world that can please Krishna. Nothing from this material world that can be appreciated by Krishna. Nothing from this material world that can be desired by Krishna. And nothing from this material world that he requires or needs. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing for Krishna in the material world. Only when the devotee begins to, with love and devotion, make an offering to the Lord, is that love and devotion, that spirit of offering, is part of the internal energy. Then the Lord is attracted to that. So this is very important to understand, that therefore we heard this morning the
famous aphorisms that Prabhupada quoted. Books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle. In that sequence, you can't mix them. You know, you have to start with books as the basis, because it's the basis. So you have to start with books as the basis. Then, what do you do if you have the basis? You have to preach, because that's the essence. Then, but how do you preach, right? With purity, because that's the force. Okay, but how, you know, they're still not easy to preach. Yes, utility is the principle. Be practical, right? So therefore, that's the sequence. There's a logical sequence in there. Books are the basis, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, and utility is the principle. Yeah. So, it is, purity is the force. It is the force that can attract Krishna. And therefore, it is the force that can reveal Krishna. See, when Prabhupada was here, Prabhupada revealed Krishna. Right? He revealed Krishna to those who were in his presence, because Prabhupada attracted Krishna. He attracted Krishna's presence. And he attracted Krishna's mercy upon all the, upon people who really never heard of. Who? Right? Who's that blue boy? Right? With that, and who's that girl with him, as it says in Krishna book, something like that. Who's that boy? Who's that girl? So, nobody knew. But Prabhupada attracted by his purity. So this is ultimately what we require, to become very pure. So in order to do that, we must take shelter. We must really take shelter of the prescribed behavior of a Vaishnava as much as possible. We are not that, I know, you know, we were not born as Vaishnavas. We were born without any culture. But we should try. Because by doing that, that will act, that Vaishnav behavior will very much act as a catalyst for our purification. And then the chanting of the holy name will really have a lot of effect. Whereas if we chant and we are not following the codes of Vaishnava behavior, then we will not be able to avoid the 10 offenses, and therefore we will not be able to reap the full results of the chanting. So if we want to attract Krishna, we must attract him with pure devotional service. And nothing else but pure devotional service. Okay, I'll stop now. Any questions? Madhu?
This statement that you gave, I once put it in front of
which one? Which one? You have to repeat the statement.
Books on the basis.
Oh, yeah.
I once put this in front of Vindasarup, and I was thinking that purity would come before preaching. Because Prabhupada says, you know, you're going to preach if you're not pure.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I think that Prabhupada simply wanted us to repeat what we had heard. And then we could preach. So books are the basis. So when one hears, right, what he has, when one has heard, then one can preach. Yeah, by simply repeating what one has heard. Like if the little boy who has no realization has heard from his father, this is coconut, and then when someone asks what is this, if he says it's coconut, then he is speaking total absolute truth. Although for the rest, he doesn't know very much about coconut. See, his father, who has lived 50 years, knows everything about coconut. He knows fresh coconut. He knows coconut with malai, you know, with the creamy paste inside. He knows coconut chutney. He knows dried coconut. He knows any coconut preparation you can think of, like little chunks and so on. You see the point? Whereas the son doesn't know, doesn't have full realization of coconut, but he just repeats, it's coconut, and the answer is right and perfect. So Prabhupada explains that to Hari, when Hari Sori once said to Prabhupada, how will we preach? Prabhupada said, you cannot preach. I am preaching. You simply repeat what I say, and I'm preaching. Yeah. So therefore, books are the basis. And if we just take these books, then we can preach. And as we are preaching and repeating from the books, we will become more and more purified. And with that, we'll develop the force for preaching. So naturally, the force of our preaching and the force of attracting Krishna and the force of our devotional service increases with our purity. And one can only preach so much when he's a neophyte. But if one becomes pure, then one can preach very strong and powerful, as we see. So, yes, it is true that purity is necessary for real preaching. But still, by repeating the acharyas, even when one is in an impure state, one can preach. And on the strength of that, we are going on. Otherwise, you know, we would all have to go home, huh? And just get purified, you know.
Yeah. The fact that Krishna is not attracted to the material world, does it also mean that his basic attitude is a service attitude?
His basic attitude is a service attitude.
Most people think God is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not. He's certainly not like the Lord and Master who's enjoying being the Lord and Master of the material world. For him, the material world is an undesirable thing. He doesn't like the material world. He's not happy with the material world. He would rather have no material world. Right? But what to do? It's the material world is certainly not there for his pleasure. Right? That's the one part of the total cosmic manifestation. This ekapat vibhuti, this material world, this one quarter of the total manifestation, which is not there for his pleasure. Right? That is there for, it's the inevitable desire of the material, of the living being, and that he accepts, but he would rather not see the material world. Yeah. So he's certainly not like a great king who's like being served and enjoying being served by all his serfs and slaves.
So I might also think that somehow there is a, it's not strange that the living entity has a desire to become an enjoyer, because he is a part of
the... All right. Sure. Okay. It's within him, yes.
That's part of our philosophy.
Well, yeah, I mean, anandamay vyasad, by nature we are enjoyers. It's just a mistake when we think that an enjoyment comes by lording it over the material energy. Rather, the enjoyment comes by offering Krishna enjoyment, and then we share in enjoyment. So then we will enjoy topmost. So ultimately, enjoyment is what our destiny is. Constant enjoyment.
That is in serving somebody.
Yeah.
So God is also like that. That's what he's actually, his basic nature. That's my question. Is his basic nature actually?
Oh, it's also in him. The tendency to serve is also in him, sure. But, you know, he is Purusha and we are Prakriti. Yeah, you see that. He serves Arjuna. He serves every devotee. But he is Purusha and we are Prakriti. He is the enjoyer and we are the enjoyed. The Jiva is the Prakriti, is the enjoyed. That element is also there.
But this is not his basic business, isn't it? You see, he doesn't want to be a enjoyer, is that? Or that
a little bit puzzled. Also, because the enjoyment he is experiencing is pure enjoyment. Here in the material world, to be the enjoyer is something to be rejected. But the enjoyment of Krishna in the spiritual, he wants to be the enjoyer, and it's pure. It's free from defect. It's not a selfish kind of thing like the enjoyment here. No. And his enjoyment is not exclusive. It's all inclusive, rather. He includes every living being in that enjoyment to the full extent, if they desire so. So it's not exclusive. Here, it's exclusive. You know, I'm the enjoyer, and you are working like a slave. But not Krishna. No. So his enjoyment is pure, free from selfishness. So the element of being the servant is also in there, but he's also enjoying.
Very much. Kurang.
There's about this material world being a prison. In the Nanda Sutra, there's one slok that said that he creates the material world only to enjoy pastimes, like the pastimes of the world. It's like a deviate. But then he says, like people here, like a king, creates pleasure. So it seems that it's not a prison house, but it seems like he does it to enjoy pleasure.
Yeah. But I think that we should not isolate such a statement, you know, and just build a whole big conviction on it. I think that, yes, in one sense, everything and anything are the pastimes of the Lord. And the Lord is always engaged in transcendental pleasure pastimes. And even when he comes in the material world, we see that he is doing that in a playful way, you know. When the Lord is coming, he kills demons, and it's pleasure pastimes, right? Although he is coming to the material world. So, within it, he has arrangements for his pastimes. But still, it's not like merely all Leela of the Lord, what's going on in this world. There's also responsibility on the side of the jiva, for the manifestation of this world as it is. And that we get from other statements. So therefore, we have to add that. We have to add these other statements to such a statement to see it in the right perspective. You cannot isolate one statement like this and build a whole conviction on it that, oh, it's all lila. So we see that those who say that it's all lila have also a ground for their convictions. But this is the problem, that those who are taking fragments of Vedic literature instead of taking things in the Vedic context are going to miss the Siddhanta. So Siddhanta means must be taken in the full context. Full context means jiva has responsibility for the ekapat vibhuti. Krishna is what?
Infinitely expanding.
Mm.
So how does he do that? Is it also that there is some energies which he awakens to activity which are his potential?
That's amazing. Amazing, amazing, Karanga. How the same question comes back in so many forms. No. Krishna's energies are always manifest, right? Are always existent, even when they're not manifest. This is the nature of Krishna's energies. So never was there a time when all these kings nor me existed, not exist. The material world is considered to be eternal, right? In the scriptures, the spiritual world is considered to be eternal. Therefore, the living beings are eternal, the Lord is eternal, material world eternal, spiritual world eternal. What's left? It's all eternal, Guranga. It's all eternal. Is there anything outside of that would not be in the eternal realm? Now, but what I said now, I said there's the you agree that according to Bhagavatam, etc., material energy is eternal. The spiritual energy is eternal. The living entity is eternal. The Lord is eternal. Is there anything else? Then it's all eternal. So eternal means it's always existing. That's what Bhagavad Gita also, that's why it says, never was there a time and I did not exist, nor you, to establish what eternity is.
But there's a theory which says that some living entities are in eternal compressed form. They're eternal, but they're just not manifested.
Yeah, but yeah.
If you say it's packed up for eternity and then suddenly it sprouts and becomes manifest.
No. No, that's not what Prabhupada taught. Prabhupada taught that the living being is eternally active in his relationship with Krishna, but due to turning away from Krishna for some reason, he loses that potency, and then he may even lose his ability to be active at one point, if he goes really down and far from Krishna. But constitutionally, the soul is always active. So that is the point. So in his constitutional position, the jiva is always active. And it's in an unconstitutional position that he's inactive. So this is not that like there is such a thing as one is eternally inactive. We said that there are some living entities who are almost eternally inactive. That's called Nityabada, or eternally fallen in the material world. But there the word Nitya just refers to the mathematical symbol unlimited, right? Which is not unlimited, but which is beyond our scope of calculation. We use the mathematical symbol unlimited whenever something is beyond the scope of our calculation, but it doesn't mean, that doesn't necessarily mean eternity. Yeah. So there's no such thing as that some, no, eternally the soul is active. And in a temporary state, the soul is inactive. Can it be different? Can it be different? Because Krishna Nitya does. Eternally we have our relationship with Krishna. Eternally we are situated in one of the rasas with Krishna. Then only temporarily we may be cut off from that. So it's not that eternally means and from now on ever after. It means constitutionally. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prem Satya Kabunai, Sravanali Sudha Chitta Karyu Udai. The original Krishna consciousness is again being reawakened. This point, when Srila Prabhupada gives us the purport to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, mind you, that's not Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was simply reading, actually, the statement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Yeah. When he speaks, right? He was simply reading the explanation of his spiritual master in this. Yeah? This is directly Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Hmm? Yeah, I heard it in India from very senior Vaishnavas. Yeah. I'm not sure if I heard it from Jayad Veda Maharaj or if I heard it from someone of his status. Yeah, I could find it for you. No, I can find it for you. In Vrindavan, I'll find it for you. I want to find it myself. But it's Bhaktisiddhanta.
How is it that, although purity is the force, you see many times devotees who live outside and they don't follow maybe even the regulated principles or all of them, that many times they are much more effective in their preaching.
Well, I don't know if they're more effective in their preaching, but yeah, okay, and how many stayed, is that? It's like different people bring many devotees where there's a desire, right? And where there's knowledge of Krishna consciousness, there is purity. So there's purity there, and there's a desire, and one can bring people. Although there's not that much purity, but there's enough purity because they are actually repeating, and they're bringing people. Yeah.
And if we go out to bring people, we will also bring people.
Srila Prabhupada just went out and brought so many people. It's just a matter of going out. Here in Amsterdam, in the Bethania Dwarstraat, in the first temple, they used to send everybody out in the morning and lock the temple. It's locked the temple. And devotee, there was only one devotee had a key. So there was no way to come back. And only in the evening would open the temple again. Maybe we should start that program again. Just an idea. Good idea, huh? That is a good idea. Okay, just see. Yada Sampati has the conclusion. Temple is Maya. We make him the temple commander. He's got the lines, you know. Everybody out. Temple is Maya.
I heard that from
Sankata. Yeah, Sankata, Sankata. No, that's true. Garanga knows that philosophy. Temple is mine. Isn't it, Garanga? Shall we stop? Or no, our last comment. I actually don't know where this story is coming from. I just heard it so many times in ISKCON. But I don't know the source of it. No, I'm sorry. I don't know. It can be from some source, some Vedic source, you know. But I don't know the actual source of the story. It's just... that could be one of the sources, you know. Yeah. One of the... It sounds like corollary literature written by some brahmana or told by some brahmana, but who it is, I don't know. Can't say. If you find out, let me know. But it's an old story, isn't it? We've heard it since we joined. Yeah, I've also heard that it is, but I'm not sure, but I've heard that. Yeah, I also heard it's not from Prabhupada, but... Well, I heard that it is not from Prabhupada, that's for sure. Yeah. I just know, I heard it's not, the Prabhupada is not the source. I heard what he says, but you're describing Bhakti Siddhanta. I've also heard something like that, and what Madhu says is again a little different. So it needs research to really clarify it, I think. But it seems that it just was not originally Prabhupada's saying. But he took it. He definitely embraced it. I mean, there are other sayings that are not his. Cleanliness is next to godliness, you know. Is just a Bengali saying. I think I forgot. I thought it came from India, actually, from some Indian writer. Maybe it was Tagore or some contemporary like that. Yeah. But cleanliness next to godliness, it's all over the Indian railway stations. It's like just a standard thing, you know. Standard Bengali thing. It's definitely not Prabhupada's invention. It's just something he took. But it's he took it as a principle for us to keep in mind. Avaduta, you want to say something?
I don't know, should I ask, but he was speaking about Krishna's plan. And, I would like to hear your opinion if there are
Yeah, what is Krishna's plan, and what if devotees have a different plan from Krishna's plan? At one point, it will become clear what Krishna's plan is, you know. In the end, for a while there can be confusion, but it can't go on for long. Sooner or later, we're going to find out what Krishna's plan is. Because in the end, it's going to be Krishna's plan. And sometimes we're all surprised.
And only Krishna knows how to tell. Isn't it? So let's wait and see. Let's wait what Krishna's plan. That's all right. Let's wait what Krishna's plan is. Now don't tell me. Anyway, but I do know one thing, is that Krishna's plan can also change by the desire of his devotee, and according to the purity of his devotee, right? Sometimes Krishna adjusts his plan according to the desire of his devotee. So therefore, my suggestion was that we should take a Kartik Vrat in the Amsterdam temple. It's a little late, but we can still do it. A Kartik Vrat that for 1 month will talk about nothing but Krishna. And after Kartik, you can talk about other things, anything else. But for Kartik, only talk about Krishna. Kartik Vrat. How about that? It's a noble Vrat. You cannot argue that it's not a noble Vrat. And if everyone would just for the months of Kartik speak only about Krishna, I think that the whole issues would be resolved much better. Much better. That's what I think. That's my plan, eh? That's a good one, eh? I don't know, but I came here as a sannyasi, somehow or other this inspiration welled up in my heart, and I don't know what it is, but that for a Kartik Vrat, we should take, in this temple, should take the vow for this year, Kartik, to only speak about Krishna. I think it would help a lot. I'm ready. You want me to, shall we start? You ready to take the vow? We'll take it together? I'll only talk about Krishna. No problem. I'm happy if that would be the case. You ready to take? The what? The vote. You can explain to me what you mean, Avaduta, because I don't understand. If you what? Well, no. Only after this month. Only after this month. Krishna direct. Krishna. Krishna direct. Anyway, I mean, you can do. Say it's like my suggestion. I know that these things are also there, but just like sometimes the devotee in the month of Kartik decides to chant 64 rounds every day. And he gets a lot of energy from that. Sometimes the devotee decides to speak only directly about Krishna for 1 month. Now, I don't say it's here in the Amsterdam temple, but I say such a vow is very powerful. Yeah, definitely. For the rest, you know, I don't care. See, whatever Krishna desires. Okay. No problem. I've learned that, to be happy with what Krishna desires. Anyway, and I'm still learning more, I guess. So let's stop with that.